This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Hey, this is GunSully from Washington, D.C.
Episode 66.
This is TechSully on the north side of Lake Tahoe.
Beautiful weather out there this time of year, isn't it?
Well, you know, still call me, a lot of fun, but I kind of like North Star Tahoe. It's really nice. Good skiing.
I'm presently distracted, like at this very moment. I am distracted because some of my friends keep posting this thing about how the first president of the United States was a man named John Hanson, and he was a black man. And of course, most people would be thinking, that's crazy, the first president of the United States was George Washington. Well, George Washington didn't become the president until after the war. And during the war, there were several interim presidents. One of them was named John Hanson. He was a tasty fella from Maryland. Now, if you ask my friends, though, who keep posting this, that was all part of a cover-up to cover up the fact that he's the first black man who was the president, because people were super open-minded back then. That's what I don't understand, too. This is one of my friends who will also tell you that everything is super racist everywhere, all the time, and it's super terrible. And America was founded by evil people, yet that same person then turns around and says that everyone was so open-minded at the start of the country during the Revolutionary War that they were like, you know what, let's get a black man in office. That's what we need. As soon as we sign the Declaration of Independence, let's get the first black president in here.
It's terrible to say, but our country was so very racist back then. The only way there would have been a black president is if there was, like, you know, 14 assassins lined up that afternoon, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And also they have a picture of a guy.
Back then.
Yes, they have a picture of a guy that they go, see, this is him. This is John Hanson, and it's a picture of a guy. Yeah, it's a photograph of a guy named John Hanson. Now, how many photographs were being taken in 1776? How many? I was going to let you ballpark. I was going to let you ballpark that number, but you got it right off the first try. I'm impressed. My friends don't know that there were no photographs being taken. Also, the photograph that they say was taken almost 100 years later.
The man did eat his vegetables and he worked out twice a day. Shot of rum in the morning. All good for a solid constitution. For a man of 104 years old, he was looking spry.
Yes, the photograph of the black senator of Liberia who was also named John Hanson. This is something, I don't know if you realize this, but sometimes people have the same name. Homophobic senator, you wouldn't know that no people ever have the same name. And
yeah. I was going to say, the people that run our do not fly list, don't understand that concept.
I think it's my friends. My friends here run the no fly list, I think. Because they think this guy, whose photograph was taken in 1856, they think that he was alive in 1776, which would have been a full 80 years earlier, and he doesn't quite look 80 in the photograph. So if he was 80, not only did the Founding Fathers say, we just seceded from England. We are fighting a bloody war. It's time for change. We need to put a black man in the office. And someone said, no, a black baby. And so President John Hanson, the first black baby, was put into office. I don't know.
Honestly, though, a baby couldn't screw things up worse than a lot of presidents we've had. So,
well, and we were at war at the time. You know, the baby just needs to just drool on himself and delegate to the generals, you know? I mean, presidents do nothing but to screw up war. But, yeah, one of the points that I made is the actual fact of the situation was he was in office John Hanson, the Maryland fella, not the Liberian fella, he was in office for a few years and then was succeeded by Elias Boudinot. Now, you might not know who Elias Boudinot is if you're not from Cherokee, North Carolina, but holy crap, I already knew this existed. But I remember the first time seeing Elias Boudinot's name in the list of people who ran the country before George Washington and thought, holy crap, was there literally a Cherokee Freemason leader of our country at some point? And, of course, I did the research and found out, nope, he just had the same name. Once again, had the same exact name as a very famous Cherokee lawyer and legal specialist and tribal consigliere to the United States of America in the 1800s. So not the same person, but
I just said that's a rare name, but I guess by modern standards that's a rare name. I don't know about that era's standards. That might have been
right.
Like Kevin back then.
Right. Well, I would like to say that I'm just glad to say that I was alive when I was alive in the era when Liberian Senator John Hanson was the first black talk soup host on E! Entertainment Television, which. I think, I'm sorry, that was John Henson. Sorry, their names are similar, but I think we can count it. I think, as my friend stated, it's his opinion, so it's okay for him to say stuff that's completely wrong because it's his opinion. I do have to say, that's not an opinion.
An opinion is not...
My opinion is that... I don't know, 1 + 1 = 5. That's my opinion. And he said that, you know, that's my opinion, and you have your opinion. No, that's just wrong. You could say 1 + 1 = 5. You could say, I like saying 1 + 1 = 5. That's an opinion. If it's how you feel about something, that's an opinion. But you saying... something completely untrue, like the Continental Congress put in power a black baby, an infant black person named John Hanson, who then stayed around long enough, from Liberia, who stayed around long enough to get his picture taken in 1856. That's not your opinion. That's just wrong. It's wrong. And I pointed out, too, this was the thing. Okay. He's upset because this is something that he's very much into black history and black empowerment, and I am too. I love studying history that is stuff that no one brings up in school. I had barely heard of Benjamin Banneker until I came to the area. Benjamin Banneker was the best surveyor and astronomer in probably the world, because the people who were building Washington D.C. had Benjamin Banneker surveying the heavens and laying out the lines of where D.C. was going to go. And he was an incredibly brilliant man who was also corresponding with
corresponding with senators and it's stuff like that that they need to be talking about. Stuff, actual black men in history who completely destroyed stereotypes and excelled in their field. And instead, you don't get that. And instead of actually looking at real black heroes in history, you get this, hey, John Hanson was black. Or my favorite, Jesus was black. You have to, like, no, he was probably Middle Eastern, which is not black. Nope, he was black. Because of something said in Revelations, he was definitely a black man, even though no one made mention of it in any other book of the Bible. And even back then was kind of the times when they would make mention of such things, which is why they called one of the guys who hung around Jesus Simon the Black, because it's kind of something you make note of. They don't see a lot of Schwarzer around old Jerusalem. It's kind of a thing. Oh, you look, he's a Schwarzer. Simon the Schwarzer. Oh, Simon the Schwarzer? Oh, yeah. Okay. Point is, stop pointing at people that weren't black and going, okay, that guy was definitely black. The reason why you should stop doing that is because it hurts your case. It makes people go, oh, you really don't have great people in your history. So that's why you're making up stuff, making up easily disprovable stuff. It hurts the black history and black empowerment movement when people do that. When they ignore people like Benjamin Banneker, when they ignore people like the heads of the Coptic Church and the Gezrites Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which were founded in Africa long before organized religion caught on, organized Christianity caught on, in the Hellenist areas, which would have been the only, like, Caucasian people getting the gospel. Before the Caucasian people got the gospel, the people in Africa were like, hey, let's set up a legitimate church. Let's organize. Let's have a pope. So you can ignore all of that and be like, nope, Jesus was black, Muhammad was black, everyone was black who I like. And everyone who I don't like, well, they just don't exist in history. That's stupid. That hurts your case.
A similar thing happens with, gay people. It's like, did you know that, you know, everybody famous ever in history that ever did anything was gay? You know, and I'm like the Benjamin Franklin, who had, you know, any, not concubines, what's the other here?
Mistresses.
Mistresses, thank you. You know, it's like, oh, he was gay. I'm like, wait, what evidence do you have? The guy wrote a lot about getting down with older women and, it's like, yeah, what, you don't have to, I mean, there's plenty of,
So did Freddie Mercury from Queen.
Well, no, actually, he claimed to be bi.
All right, man, just get somewhere safe. Stay in a well-lit area, man. Sorry.
But, no, Freddie Mercury claimed to be bi. Out.
Yeah, what was that?
Freddie Mercury claimed to be bi.
Oh, okay. I'm just really frustrated with revisionist history. It doesn't help anyone. Revising history doesn't help anyone.
That's been one of my things is we don't even wait until it's history before we revise it. Grandpa used to always send me emails with Obama, you know, with his left hand over his heart and, you know, in a picture. And I'm like, okay, Grandpa, if you look in the back of the picture, the Marines also have all of their uniforms on backwards, and they're saluting with their left hand. So, you know, I'm like, it's not that the president's disrespecting the Pledge of Allegiance, it's that some idiot has flipped the negative or flipped the picture, you know. Not flipped the negative, but I had to say flip the negative to put it in terms my grandpa would understand, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people don't even wait until it's...
Did he respond by telling you, like... Oh. Did it just shut off?
It always just went into the bin.
Did Grandpa tell you, well, it's my opinion to believe this thing that's clearly false? Is that what he said?
Actually, he would always say, he hates America. I'm like, I don't think anybody would go through the process of the
vetting process to become president, because it's like,
it doesn't seem
to make any sense whatsoever.
Speaking of, last night they had the big debate. I don't know if we learned anything new. The only gotcha right now, the only fallout last night of the debate was that Rubio and Cruz might have accidentally revealed classified information that they're now digging through 100% of all phone conversations, which, you know, leads me back to a rant that I wanted to circle back to. We covered a little bit, but, you know, both Hillary Clinton and Trump were both coming out against free speech last week, and we kind of glossed over it a little bit last week, but it's like, you know, if you're passionate about your Second Amendment rights, you should be absolutely more passionate about your First Amendment rights. You know, if you take away guns, you know, hey, the government has drones. A gun's only going to defend you against 1, 2, maybe 10 people at best. A drone's going to take you out. But the internet, nothing goes away once it's on the internet. And free speech is your only defense in some cases. You know,
yeah.
the only thing you have to protect yourself may be free speech. So that's why I was going to rant on here, is that you know, if giving up rights to be safe, and we've covered once again, and we've covered it ad nauseum, but, you know, gun violence in this country, even though it's big and scary and makes headlines, it's not really the major things that are going to kill you. Car accidents are going to kill you. Heart disease is going to kill you.
The type of gun crime that they talk about, they always say those statistics, like, there's a spree killing all the time. There's every other month there's a spree killing. And look how, now we're going to show you a different stat that's the number of people killed by guns. Well, the number of people killed by guns is astronomically higher than the people who die in spree killings, because spree killings are like lightning strikes while winning the lottery. They're very rare. Compared to how people actually die of getting shot, which is normally everything from hunting accidents to arguments when you're drunk, you know, people getting in a drunk argument and then getting shot to death by an ex-lover, is more possible than free killing.
Yeah, the number one way, if you're dead from a gunshot wound, chances are your finger is on the trigger. By and large, yeah, that is the number one cause of gun death.
Wow.
Is suicide. 6-1. In other words, if you rolled the dice 6 times and said, if you said, hey, Ken was killed by a gun, I would say, I could roll the dice 6 times and guess, hey, he killed himself. All right? You know, that's most likely what happened.
I'm sure some real nerd will ask you about your number of times rolling, but yes.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, roughly, given that. And then the next most likely candidate, you say, oh, Ken was killed by a gun. The next, holy crap, hold on, I'm gonna die. The next most likely candidate is Ken's wife. Ken's wife killed him. You know, the spouse is the next
most. Ken's wife is Barbie.
Oh yeah, Ken's wife is Barbie. Yeah. the next most likely candidate is your spouse has killed you. You know, that's who the next in line is. And then following that is, you, like you said, drunken argument, something that escalates. You know, somebody that knows you. I mean, you're going way down the list by the time you get to stranger kills you. You know, home invasion, you know, that all those, you know, NRA porn invaders come into your house, so you have to have a fast release wall mount magnet gun launcher that shoots the gun into your hands across the room. It just doesn't happen that often.
I want to point out too, it's always one of those things where people say gun control, gun control, gun control. Well, and my favorite was the people who were going, your thoughts and prayers don't help. What we need is more legislation. And that quotation hurt my soul because it was so stupid. Legislation is writing a magical incantation and putting that magical incantation in a collection of other magical incantations in a building far, far away. And you are saying, hey, this praying for miracles that you're doing, that's not helping. But, you know, according to the Catholic Church, who has studied miracles for centuries, and documented, miracles with three or more witnesses, there's more evidence to people praying and stopping things from happening than there is legislation stopping gun violence. As a matter of fact, there's more proof that legislation only stops law-abiding citizens, which means only criminals then have guns and then run the streets. Like in Honduras, where it is overrun with gun violence, even though it has a foolproof gun control mandate. That's right. There's no guns because they wrote a magical incantation and they put it in a building. So yeah, if people are saying, hey, we need to flood the streets with guns, and you go, no, you're an idiot, we need more legislation. Well, okay, guess what? Sure, it sounds stupid to flood the streets with guns, because, as we pointed out, they can kill you. But that idiot who said flood the streets with guns is smarter than you, because in places like Texas, where the streets have guns just lying in the street, it's a safer place to be than a place like Southeast BC, where you're not allowed to have that gun.
Yeah, my rant with the thoughts and prayers thing is that's your get out of jail, you know, free card. You know, it's the okay, I've done my part, I don't need to help anymore part. You know, I think you know what the next thing should be is, hey, my thoughts and prayers are with you. What else do you need me to do to help
you?
Well,
and like we pointed out, there's calls to action, like Red Cross will say, hey, this is an emergency situation, we need a donation, you know, donate blood or click here to donate $5. Now, that would be an awesome thing to do. Anthony Jeselnik pointed out, it's not a get out of jail free card for people. It's a, hey, I know there's horrible stuff going on in the world, but please look at me. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. That was his opinion of the thoughts and prayers crowd. That was his disdain for them.
It's the same kind of thing like celebrities. You know, anytime a celebrity dies, you know, part of it, you know, people share their experiences with celebrities when they die, and I did the same thing. You know, I love Terry Pratchett. You know, I'm still going through all of his works, you know, catching up on his stuff. And, you know, after he died, you and I, you know, gosh, talked for almost an hour and a half about his life. Yeah. And a lot of that was about me. But, I mean, that's how we internalize as people. We internalize celebrities as how we interpret them. And, you know, and it's funny because I always kind of thought of him as, you know, a kind of almost a Santa Claus happy figure. But as I'm reading about him now, apparently he was an angry guy, you know, and that's what he wrote from was a rage, you know, a haunted rage. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, what I thought he was and what he actually was were two different things. And so, you know, and so that's, you know, we make celebrities or we make tragedies about ourselves. because that's basically what we have to do as people. You know, we take tragedies and we hold on to that one piece of humanity that we tie to it. You know, we play the Seven Steps of Kevin Bacon to the Sandy Hook shooting or the thing where like, wow, you know, I just traveled through New Jersey just, you know, 3 weeks before that happened or whatever. You know, it's just kind of the way our brains are wired. So I don't fault people when they say, you know, our hearts go out to you, or our thoughts and prayers are with you, or whatever. But I always think, you know, we need to get people onto that next thought is, you know, don't just leave it there. Say, and then how can I help? You know, because then, you know, it puts that next layer of pressure. It doesn't release the pressure on you. You know, it keeps that one layer more pressure. I mean, like today, I was looking up something on Wikipedia and it pops up going, hey, we need money. Freaking donate, you know? And so I was like, all right, I rarely use Wikipedia and I don't use it all the time. But yeah, I use it enough. All right, here's $5. And so, you know, I did my part.
That's awesome. Hey, and we're back. This is Gunn in Washington, D.C. I have a few friends up in... Where were you? I thought you were at Lake Minnetonka. Where are you now?
Right, no, what did I say?
Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe. It's Squaw Valley.
Okay. Well, I got some friends up in Baltimore, and it's a little concerning with the threat of riots going on. Freddie Gray was arrested either earlier this year or last year, and he died in police custody. He had some very shocking medical history, including basically being poisoned as a child by bad paint contracting of government housing in Baltimore. There was all sorts of shady corner cutting stuff that the city of Baltimore did that led to just a lot of people having mental issues because of lead paint. And Freddie Gray was one of those people. He's kind of was a long time victim of the state and victim of the system. And as upsetting as that is, the police who arrested him, he had a knife on him. He wasn't waving it around. The reason why he's arrested is a little confusing. Some of the cops say he ran from them or this, that, and the other. It's whatever. They searched his pockets. They found a knife on him. Whether or not the knife was illegal or legal, those questions didn't get to be asked because when they got to the police station, Freddie was dead. So he had died somewhere while they were transporting him. And there was witnesses to the arrest. He wasn't beaten, so they think it may have been a complication with a previous injury that he had had. He was hit by a car before the incident, so it's a confusing situation. But the end play of it is Freddie Gray was dead, and the last people to touch him were the police. So. Before anyone had the chance to really sit down and figure this thing out, agitators went up to Baltimore and rioted. They had massive riots all throughout Baltimore, like really terrible riots where people were getting viciously beaten, stores were getting burned down, and then
wrongful death case, really.
Yeah, it's, but the stores were getting looted and drugs were being stolen from pharmacies, and then the pharmacies got burned down after the drugs were stolen. It's absolutely ridiculous what they did. And then, the gang fighting after the riots, killed hundreds of people now. We're now up into the hundreds for Baltimore's murder rate this year, and it's absolutely insane. Like, and the other thing, some random person on the internet who claimed to be from Baltimore, when I brought up the ridiculous amount of gang violence, and the, at that time, dozens of people who had been murdered, actually murdered too, by the way, like somebody saying, "I'm going to kill you," and then shooting someone in the face, like actual murder happening. And, not that I'm justifying what happened to Freddie Gray, but on a sliding scale of morality, that's worse. You know? That's, "I'm gonna kill you because I hate you, hate, shooting you in the face." And, people were like, "No, but see, those people are all the same color, so that's not worse." Well, what's worse is that three of the six cops who handled Freddie Gray were white, therefore, that's a much worse situation. And the one person even said, "Oh, the media is just lying to cover up for what they did to Freddie Gray." And I thought that was the most insane, delusional, tinfoil hat, crazy pot kind of statement to make. That the, for one thing, that the media is on police side out there. That's ridiculous. The media is not on the police side. They made that very clear with the whole Ferguson thing, and New York, the media will use any opportunity to demean the police.
Create a firestorm.
Yeah. The media will show up just to toss gas on any flame. So it's pretty infuriating, and I'm really glad to see that a lot of the civic leaders in Baltimore really are stepping up to say, "Hey, we are doing everything we can to not riot because that's bad." You know, they've started to realize that the dozens of people being murdered in the aftermath of a wrongful death case being brought to the attention of the community is worse than the wrongful death case. You know, like, yeah, like maybe somebody being shot execution style in a car that's lit on fire and the entire town is burned around them. That murder might be worse than a cop shooting in self-defense, which is what happened in Ferguson. In Ferguson, a cop got into a fight with a guy who was bigger than him and ended up shooting the guy to death. That's what happened.
Who had robbed a store earlier that day and all that. We should be more up in arms about because, you know, feel for that guy because, you know, the whole reason he's dead is because, of taxes.
Let me jump back to what I was saying. My point was, you have a situation where a violent guy, Mike Brown, who had just committed violent acts and had a history of committing violent acts, that's in the sealed juvie record, people. I'm not quoting any hate websites or anything like that. And I'm not talking about that stupid video that was not him on WorldStar. I'm talking about what people knew of him. He was in a violent game and was a big guy who would hurt people, and he got into a fight with a cop, and the cop shot him. Well, while that might be horrible for the family, the community at large isn't really affected by that until organizers come and say, "No, you should be affected by this. We're going to mediafy this situation. We're going to make Mike Brown out to be a saint. He was Saint Mike, and he loved everyone. You know, here's a painting with him and a pony." You know, like, it was absolutely ridiculous what they stepped out to do to try to, like, oh, he was recording stuff that was violent? Oh, okay, we will ignore all of that. Oh, he was
posting violent stuff, okay, we will ignore all of that. But we will only talk about him as if he was a beautiful saint-like character, and we'll get people upset. So what this situation went from was two guys getting into a fight, it escalating, and one guy getting shot, which happens all the time. It just happened to be a black person and a white police officer fighting, and then it escalates to an entire city getting burnt down and one of the witnesses being shot to death in his car. Being shot to death and then the car being lit on fire. And can I just say, I love how Snopes totally threw that out as a disproved. That was totally disproved because, you know, the guy was shot and he was lit on fire in the car, but there's no proof that it had anything to do with his testimony against Mike Brown.
Well, no, there's no proof that he had testified was what they said. There's no proof that he had testified.
Okay. My point is, the only people out there on the street were people who were the, hey, we're here because St. Mike was murdered. The martyr St. Mike is why we are doing what we're doing. And the people who are saying the martyr St. Mike is why we're doing what we're doing murdered a guy, put his body into a car, and then lit the car on fire. So, yeah, I don't know what their motivation was. All I know is that was bad. That was worse than two people fighting and stuff escalating. Two people fighting and stuff escalating, and somebody acts out of what they think is necessity, and somebody winds up dead. That's kind of stuff that happens in nature, you know? Animals fight, and then one animal winds up dead. It's actually a natural occurrence. A mob burning down a city and then taking someone, shooting them, and then burning their body in a car. Whether that person was a witness or not, or whether it's because they didn't like the shirt the guy was wearing, doesn't matter. That on a sliding scale of morality is worse than the original thing that you were upset about.
Right. I don't disagree. And they might have been doing it because they thought that person would testify, but the Snopes thing was saying there's no evidence that the person testified. So in other words, it's kind of like the jihad pictures, you know, in the Middle East, you know, where it's like, nobody saw this picture, but we're going to go ahead and riot anyway, because we heard about somebody who heard about a picture, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that could have been the thing, but there's no evidence that that person testified, and, you know, the person actually...
Right. No, but yeah, don't get hung up on that. My point is, when the group of people who are upset about, you know, I'm upset that something was stolen, so I'm going to go murder people. Like, if your sliding scale of morality stops adjusting, you know, and you stop realizing, oh, wait a minute, okay, you know, there should be an equal and opposite understanding and reaction.
All right, this is Gunn. I have one sort of final remark about the demonstrations up in Baltimore, which since we started talking about this, there actually was a hung jury, which means the jury realized that they could not agree on the unanimous verdict, and they're going to need to have a whole new trial. So supposedly there will be another trial, but there's already demonstrations. So that's a rough situation up there. The funny thing is the news was playing sound bites of community leaders saying, like, hey, you know, we need to work with the kids and we need to make sure the kids know not to destroy stuff because that doesn't help. And, well, you know, there's all these clips of stuff like that. And then the last one was a guy going, we need to work with the children and the community so that they know how effective an organized demonstration can be. Tell us what one of the community says. And I'm like, okay, I think including everyone that calls himself a community leader, I mean, for heaven's sake, Farrakhan calls himself a community leader, and he's always calling for violence. So, yeah, it's...
And truthfully, a organized protest can have effect, you know, it's just
he didn't say protest, he said demonstration, which consistently leads to riots, in this sort of situation, which is a little aggravating, especially since, you know, the city of Baltimore is doing everything they can to bend over backwards for the supposedly affected community. And my aggravation too is they're talking about the disaffected youth as if they are some kind of hive mind, you know, like, oh, well, they're going to get upset, and as if they're all just like, oh, our protest senses are tingling. You know, that's all this hive mind of activity. And I thought, there are people who think that it's like that, and they think that they're a part of this hive mind, and they think that justifies all of their actions. And when people start saying stuff like that, it just validates them. Like, yes, we are going to get angry, yes, the hive mind is going to be angry, which is just ridiculous.
Crowds do bizarrely weird things. I mean, in England, in the massive games where they had problems with the soccer hooligans and riots and people getting crushed, you know, they literally space out their stands. If you look at the most popular games, half the stands are empty, and you're like, wow, you know, this is the most popular game of the year. One or half the stands empty. Well, it's to keep them from killing each other. It's straight up. Because, you know, in a crowd situation, people would just keep pressing forward, not realizing they're crushing people to death. You know, it's just, you know, crowds behave like crowds. You know, there is a bit of, once you get a bunch of people together, there's weird psychological behavior that people can do, the problem is if you're trying to predict that behavior before they get together, then you're going to make bad predictions.
I'm sorry about that. There's been a resolution in another event. Me and my friend online finally came to apparently a point of great fatigue because I posted a response, and he just liked it. So I always take those like, okay, yeah. I guess. What?
You're one about the Liberian guy?
Yes. Because he said something about like, oh, well, you know, nobody asked whether or not Jesus was white, and there's all these pictures of white Jesus all over the place. No one questions that. I said, everybody questions that. Only an idiot thinks Jesus was white. Only an idiot thinks Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. Jesus was from the Middle East. And by all the context cues in the Bible, he was a Middle Eastern person. Not a black person or a European person.
I like the one place I went to school where they believe that not only did Jesus have probably sandy blonde hair and blue eyes, but he also had short hair. Conservative Baptist school, and boy did they hate me in that class, because I took them toe-to-toe on that every chance I got, because I was like, and your basis for that is what? It's like, well, if you look at Roman coins, all of the emperors had short hair, and I'm like, yeah, do you know why the emperors had short hair? I'm like, no, to show their wealth. To show... Mm. Hey, I can have so much disposable income, I can have somebody whose whole job it is to cut my hair.
Yeah. And also, the emperors were the ruling class the Romans were of the Roman race. They had rules against like intermarrying other races and stuff like that. And Jesus was of a different race and culture than the Romans. And Jesus' culture was pretty much either all hair or no hair. Back in those days.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And clean, almost clean shaven was the other part that was hilarious. And it's like, wait a minute, how were people able to, in the Bible, grab fistfuls of beard and rip it out? It's like, well, he had some wicked 5 o'clock shadow at that point. Everybody tries to recreate whatever deity they, in their own image.
Yes. Yeah, I think Jesus was a short, stocky, red-bearded Hun. I think he looked like a German, Irish sort of, stockiness with a ruddy face and red beard.
With a dash of sub-Saharan African and Cherokee thrown in.
When we claim our ethnicity too, I just want people to know we actually have DNA testing. It's all there.
We were joking about that before. We wonder how many fights 23andMe has started. It's like, I went to Ancestry.com and tracked my history, and then I went to 23andMe.com and found out that's all a lie.
Yes. We went pretty far down the rabbit hole in that joke. That was, I don't know if any of that's family friendly. one of the things I wanted to bring up, this might sound funny, but President Barack Obama should be impeached, and not for any political reason. All politics aside, he should be impeached. For one big thing that he did, and can you guess what it is?
I think from what you said earlier, I'm going to go with your Syria.
Okay, all right, that's a good guess. It's not. I mean, a case could be made for that, but it is kind of a political football. This is one that hasn't been a huge political football. It was I'm blanking on the exact year, but it was at the end of Military Appreciation Month. Now, a lot of people who don't live in, the government, funded areas or the military, bases, you might not know Military Appreciation Month, but inside the Beltway, it's an everyday reminder telling you Military Appreciation Day, we salute our troops, this, that, and the other. The president is going out and doing speeches. The vice president is meeting up with people at the Fisher House or something like that. Well, at the end of a month, all about the troops, when everyone in the D.C. area is stoked on patriotosterone, we're all loving the troops by the end of the month, right? Well, Obama then says the ultimate thing that you would think shows your ultimate affection and love for the troops. He comes out and says that he sent the special forces to go in and rescue a prisoner of the Taliban, right? He sent the special forces in to rescue a prisoner of the Taliban, clearly insinuating that there was a firefight and that these guys, tossed this frail guy into a helicopter and fly away. That's what he's insinuating. And it was all a lie. There was no rescue of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the sergeant.
We just established that one of our guys is worth five of theirs, is what we established.
Okay, it's so much worse than that. It's so much worse. Like, the for one thing, we gave a prisoner exchange of five really, really high-up bad guys. And we're not talking about bad guys that, you know, shot at our troops once or twice. We're talking about bad guys that run the show. These are the kind of guys that can work from home. You know, they can move money around. They can send troops to different places. They can plan and execute terrorist attacks from two countries away. Now, we let five guys like that out of Guantanamo Bay in a peaceful prisoner exchange with the Taliban to get Bo Bergdahl back. And the lie doesn't even stop with that. That's not the end of the lie. The lie was Bo Bergdahl was captured by the Taliban. And he's a sergeant. The sergeant thing was just an honorific thing given to him. And he wasn't captured. He left. He left his gun, wandered out, and apparently, according to a lot of the witness statements of intel gathering in the area, he was going from town to town asking how he could join the Taliban.
Yeah.
So,
that kind of dropped my jaw when that came out. Although, I mean, did we know that at the time, or did we had been knowing
that's the thing.
At the time?
Obama thought that, you know, the military was going to be just 100% cooperative with this BS. Either he's the dumbest guy in the world and didn't know any of this, or whenever people are saying, hey, maybe this guy isn't the guy that's, you know, going to make us look good here, maybe we should try to get a different prisoner or something, and he just brushed them off and refused. I mean, maybe President Obama is an idiot, because it's either that he's an idiot or he intentionally threw a wrench in the war on terror by giving five generals back to the people that we were fighting against and attempting to reward a traitor with non-commissioned officer pay and a desk job for his treason, which treason used to get you shot, but Obama, after intentionally putting enemy generals back into the field, applauds you and gives you money for your treason, which is the moral of that story, if he did that on purpose. But I don't think he did that on purpose. I don't think Obama's that smart. I honestly don't. I think people told him he was smart his entire life. He just thought he was smart. I don't think he was reading what people were telling him. They're saying, hey, here's this sit rep. Read this. Hey, here's this disposition. Read this. Hey, here's this. Oh, my gosh. Read your intel briefings. And he's not showing up to the meetings because he's so smart. He knows everything. And so I bet it was staffers who worked out most of this. And he went along with it. He tried to say, oh, no, this is a good guy. No, this is Bo Bergdahl. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Yeah, I'm going to get his family here. This is good. We rescued him. Oh, yeah, he's going to be very grateful. And I just think he's an idiot. I think he probably didn't do his homework, and that's why the military, the United States military, is left with this treasonous sack of coward, and what do they do? Do they say, what's the party line, General? What's the party line? What does the chief executive officer want us to do, huh? He wants us to be nice to this guy and just baby him? No. The military does their job, and they court-martial him for desertion and misbehavior in front of the enemy. So I'm very pleased to see that he has been he is being court-martialed, and I really hope to see that all the truth comes out for this coward's desertion. And since the military has started this court-martial proceeding, the U.S. government, Democrats and Republicans, especially the Democrats, because the Democrats need to start distancing themselves from this guy. Obama has been such a screw-up, they need to start distancing themselves. Otherwise, they're going to continue to lose seats in local state Senate, state House seats, governor seats, local elections. The Democrats are losing all across the country. And part of it is because this lockstep uniformity to support the Clinton royal family or Emperor Obama's stupidity. And this guy is just bad at his job. The whole Bo Bergdahl thing is, there's no excuse around it. He is either blatantly evil and trying to sabotage our country, which I don't think anyone really believes that, but his actions are so bad. He tried to perpetrate a hoax, for God's sake. He tried to perpetrate a hoax that we sent in the special forces and they killed a bunch of guys and they ran out in the cover of night. In the cover of night, they brought back Bo Bergdahl. All right.
I mean, they had that, you know, full coverage on his at the time. It was broad daylight, you know, out in the cover of white, you know, white flag. They went out. I mean, it was, you know, it was tense because.
That didn't come out yet. When he started to say the whole, oh, yeah, we're getting this guy. We're rescuing him. I sent in special forces to rescue him. The first time Obama says all that, you don't see any of this. I don't think they expected anyone to see any of this. And yeah, when the information got leaked that, oh, it's a prisoner exchange, that's when you start seeing, like, video of the event and everything. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, the thing that nips me, my other thought I thought you were going with was the fact that by official policy, by executive order, immigration wasn't allowed to look at the social media of ramblings of people that were coming into the country, which seems like obvious. I mean, the lady who was part of the rampage in was San Diego.
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino, thank you. San something or other. She had posted stuff online in public going, hey, you know, here's the crap I'm going to do. And it would have taken 10 seconds to Google that and go, hey, you know, this lady's evil and crazy and, you know, going to do bad things. But they weren't, by policy, allowed to do that, which,
yeah.
You wouldn't have even taken a violation of her privacy to do that. That was stuff she publicly posted. So,
the head of the DHS, Officer Bar Brady, head of the DHS, of course, would have said, nothing to see here, folks! Nothing to see here! Move along!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like that flabbergasted me. I'm like, if I posted on my Facebook tomorrow, which, you know, most of my Facebook posts go out public, if I posted, hey, I'm going to blow up a school bus, hope I don't burn my lips on the exhaust pipe, half of the people in that county, you know, I still have cops show up my door because they wouldn't get the joke, you know? people around here freak out about so much. We actually made national news because a calligraphy class had and you'll have to help me with the term. What's the calligraphy thing the Muslims do where they say, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet? You know, it's the little,
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember. It's like the, like Tequila or something like that. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
But
it's
a beautiful piece of calligraphy, you know, and so, it was just listed in one of the things, you know, from the calligraphy class. And so parents are freaking out and pulling their children out of the things because apparently they're trying to turn everybody into Muslims in that school. I'm like, holy crap, line up. I'm going to kick all of y'all in the asses. Because, I mean, honestly, my kids know what a Jain is and what they believe. They're 10 and 9 years old, and they know what a Jain is. They know what a Confucian is. A believer in Confucius is. They know what a Buddhist believes, roughly. But that one's kind of hard to nail down sometimes, depending on the Buddhist. They know about Islam. They know about Catholics. You know what? Because I'm not terrified that my kid's going to see some other religion and go fleeing to that religion.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially not Jainism. Could you imagine not killing a fly? Ugh. This just sounds dirty. Anyway, media, where were we? We were somewhere before this, right before you started talking about your area.
What I was saying is another failure. The things that are annoying me about the thing, cause it's like the Obama thing, you know, with the Bo Bergdahl thing. I would be amazed. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that never reached him. You know, if that was something, you know, Pentagon level, never got to him. I mean, you know, the plausible deniability, or it could be, hey, one of the five people we sent back, you know, has a GPS receiver jammed up his tuchus. here, you take these five guys back. Ignore the guy that's beeping. There might be more chess pieces in play. I always wonder if there's more pieces on the chessboard that I'm seeing. I give politicians maybe more benefit of the doubt than they deserve. But I always wonder if there's more moves in play than I can see. So, see, I might give you that one. But a clear failure of our system is, don't look at the social media ramblings of the people that are coming into the country because that can cause embarrassment. Well, holy crap. Hey, how about we screen them for violent ramblings?
Yeah, well, and one of the things, too, is, like you said, we would get flagged if we started calling for violence. Does it make any sense to... Well, one of the guys I've reposted and I've mentioned is the Doctor of Common Sense, and he was infuriated with the whole Louis Farrakhan calling for 10,000 suicide soldiers to go kill white people and cops. Stalk them and kill them was his command to his hypothetical 10,000 suicide soldiers that he needed. He's saying this, it gets out there, and he said, he's explaining like why it ticked him off so much is because he would joke about pistol whipping people. And he said that Obama needed pistol whips, and he had Secret Service come knocking on his door.
Yeah.
Yet you're gonna have a cult leader calling for suicide soldiers to murder people, and then he's gonna get, you know, just full range to walk to march on DC. Like, yet a guy says a stupid joke on YouTube, and oh boy, he gets the Secret Service up his butt.
I mean, that's the thing with Farrakhan. Farrakhan gets listened to exactly the same way Deepak Chopra gets listened to. People are like, wow, he's clearly smart. I'm going to look at him and pretend I'm listening and tell everybody I'm listening.
but not do anything about it.
That has to be the case.
Yeah. Hey, well, like, you know, Deepak Chopra says stuff that sounds smart, uses big words, but then if you, like, parse it, you're like, that means nothing, you know? There's even a website, wisdomofchopra.net, that mixes together nonsensical stuff, but it, you know, parses out as English grammar. And if you quote that back to people rate it as, you know, highly intellectual. We'll have to post some quotes of that onto the forum and see what people think of it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
We can see who actually listens to the podcast out of the ones.
We need to start posting more to the forum too. We haven't been posting a lot there. I think the last thing I posted was the last podcast.
Well, as you know, this time of year with all of the school things, like, you know, I had to listen to a recorder recital yesterday, which, honestly, I'd rather have recorders jammed into orifices of my body repeatedly than listen to them being played. So, that was painful.
All I can think of is the Vine where the guy plays the Justin Bieber riff with his nose, with a recorder jammed up his nose.
Yeah, that was higher quality playing than I heard yesterday. The fourth graders that's the most sincere form of torture, and I have one more year of it.
Did you see the Vine I posted of, or the I can't remember if it's a Vine or anyway, Instagram thing I posted where the guy, it has to be, I don't know what country it's from, but the guy won't pay 5p for a bag. And that's in Montgomery County. What was that?
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, in Montgomery County here, they charge you for plastic bags. I will say that I've never been that cheap to not get the plastic bag, but it always catches me off guard.
So, all right, anyway, can I end on a rant?
Yes. One thing I want to say. My profile picture looks like I look exactly like you if you were made entirely of America. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. Did I cover my UPS fiasco on the podcast?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So today I get a text message going, your package has been delivered. And I'm sitting there in my office completely silent. I get up from my desk, and it's too big to fit in the mailbox. Sometimes that means it's in the mailbox, but I know the package is too big. It's my son's birthday present. It's, you know, Skylanders crap. Big stuff. It's not going to fit in the mailbox. So I go across the hall to the other people who are there, who sometimes get our mail. It's kind of nice. Occasionally, I've had them accidentally get, books delivered. So I look really smart because they accidentally have opened. Every time they've opened one of my packages by accident, it's always been something about physics or something. So they're like, wow, he's really smart. So I love what, so far I'm like 3 for 3, them opening smart guy mail for me. It's never been like, you know, a back massager or anything, you know. So I'm over there and I'm like, you know, did you guys see anything? So then, you know, I check online and it says delivered to Boston. And I'm like, what? So, you know, I'm like, yeah, I look, yeah, and I double check and I check online and it says, yes, delivered to Boston. And I'm like, I check where I am, and it's not. I'm not in Boston. I'm nowhere near Boston. So
did you look for GPS on your phone to make sure?
Yeah. Because, you know, I do travel around a good bit, but, you know, I was in my office today, so I call them up on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, I need to track a package, and, you know, give them the number. And I'm like, yep, that's been delivered. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. And they're like, yeah, you signed for it. I'm like, the hell I did. I didn't have a sign for it. It's like, yeah, it was delivered to Boston. And I'm like, I did not sign for it because I'm not in Boston. It's like, well, yeah, it was delivered to the address. And I'm like, read the address back to me.
They're like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, all right, I'll read the address to you. And I read the address I was supposed to go to. And they go, yeah, that's the one we have on file. And I'm like, where did you actually deliver it to? And they go, Boston. And I'm like, where's the problem? They're like, oh, no, we've delivered it to the wrong location. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And so then they transfer me to a different location, you know, a different phone number, and they're like, okay, well, we see the package has been delivered. What's your problem? I'm like, yeah, you didn't deliver it to me. That's the problem. I'm like, I'm glad you guys don't deliver organs. Well, we handed the heart to some guy that works at a bus stop.
He said thanks, so we're going to assume that's a sign.
Yeah, it took me three people for them to understand that just having somebody have the thing marked as delivered doesn't mean that they're done. You know, it actually has to get to the person whose name is on the package.
Oh, well, so, it is Boston, so there's probably a bunch of people with your Irish name.
Holy crap, yeah, I mean, yeah, just it was terrifying. And thankfully, I mean, you know, I'm stressing out about it because, you know, my son's high-functioning autism, and so he's very specific about what he wants. And he knows what he's getting because, you know, he'll annoy you to death if you don't get him. And so I told him what he's getting. So he'll then help me if what I told him he's getting does not line up with what he gets, you know.
Right.
I literally, yeah, I'll be one of those, you know, gun deaths that I was telling you about earlier if I don't deliver on what I was telling you, because he would drive me mad if I don't deliver.
I thought you were going to say he was going to build a gun out of spare parts in the house, because he could probably do that.
Yeah,
look at him in a real gun.
Yeah, no, he would just drive me bonkers. Dad, you said. Well, I mean, yeah, if you've seen Rain Man, I mean, you know, other autism parents hate Rain Man, but, you know, the whole Judge Wapner, every day, Judge Wapner, yeah, that's the way they are. You don't deviate from the plan. Well, the plan was Skylanders, you know, so. So, yeah, so I'm trying to explain to the lady on the phone, you know, that, like, you don't understand what's going to happen to me. I'm trying to make it sound like, you don't understand, lady. Like, mafia people have less problems if they don't deliver, you know?
Yeah.
A broken leg would be preferable to what's going to happen to me if this package doesn't get delivered, lady. So they're like, well, we can't go and pick it up today. And I'm like, all right, so you're telling me my package, I got to trust that this person in Boston is going to be the most trustworthy person on the planet and leave it on their porch overnight for the UPS person to pick up tomorrow and bring to me Friday. Holy crap. So, yeah, that's my rant about UPS.
Hi. All right. Well, I hope they get that figured out. I just imagine some Boston UPS driver going, hey, are you Sully? Yeah. Okay, Sully, type it in. All right, I'm going to the back.
Yeah, 900 red-headed guys go, yeah, I'm Sully. Which
Sully do you mean? You mean Sully or do you mean Mick Sully? I'm O Sully.
Because, you know, that's how every Irish family, you're only known by whoever your mother is, you know?
Yes. All right, brother. I'm going to let you go. Have a good day. I hope you can edit this 28-part podcast together.
Yeah. I was going to say, to everybody who makes it to the end of this, if this sounded like a cohesive podcast, let me know, because this will be the mother of all editing jobs, because I think we have, a record number of pieces. Plus,
I think this is
privacy edits.
This is our longest record, too. It took us 6 hours.
We've split them up pretty far apart before, but yeah, this is pretty wide gap.
Yeah. All right, brother.
Yeah. All right.
Pray for Baltimore.
Yep. Well, oh, and what can I do to help them?
What was that?
Well, and remember what I said, and find out what I can do to help.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go to any CVS's there anytime soon. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Podcast over. Stop listening in 3, 2, 1, Mark.